on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Welcome back to another season of the YoteCast podcast. We've had a couple of months off, and now we're back at it for another year of the YoteCast podcast. I hope you continue to listen to the show and obviously share it with people who might be interested, as well as we're always trying to grow our audience and allows us to continue to produce these podcasts. This year's podcast will look a little bit different. Obviously, by now you know that David Herbster has stepped away from the University of South Dakota. He's taken a new opportunity with Sanford, and we will have that conversation with him coming up in the show today. But we will not have David Herbster each and every week. So as of this moment, how this podcast looks over the next several weeks, I don't know, but we will continue to turn it out. We'll continue to talk to USD coaches and athletes and administrators as we continue to share their stories and help you get to know the student athletes at the University of South Dakota. As we get set for the football opener at Missouri this week, of course, the Coyotes playing on a Thursday night instead of the traditional Saturday, but we get set for the opener. It's time to take a look at college football rule changes, and I'm sure you've heard of some of these and maybe all of them, but it's good to remind as we get to set to kick off the season some of the things that you might see different as we get into games. Obviously, the biggest one is going to be clock stoppage. In college football, as long as I have known it, the clock has always stopped when a player has been able to obtain a first down and not go out of bounds. The clock has always stopped, and it resets when the chains are set, or it restarts, I should say, when the chains are set. But that has gone away. This will look more like the NFL in that when a first down is obtained by the offense, the clock will continue to run. So it is going to shorten the game a little bit. And Coach Nielsen talked about this rule change on Monday night's Coyote Report.
Yeah, fans will notice that, any time outside of 2 minutes remaining in the half and the end of the game, as long as the ball is in play and not out of bounds, the clock's going to continue to run on first down. You know, talking to the people on the rules committee, you know, they're saying that this will average probably reducing the game by about 7 plays. And, I don't think it's a good change. All these rule changes to shorten the game are really being done because games are being extended by TV timeouts, not because the game's getting longer. But that's one of the things I think you're going to continue to see is ways in which our rules start to shape more of what the and mirror more what the NFL does.
And to Coach Bob Nielsen's point, in this opener against Missouri, because it is the SEC network and controlled by ESPN, there are 46 minutes worth of commercial time in this particular game. Now, on a regular game that is on Midco, regional network like Midco, I believe Midco takes about 35 minutes total worth of commercial time. This does not count halftime. So in this week's game has 46 minutes of commercials plus a 20-minute halftime that is over 1 hour of non-game stoppages that are going to extend it. So when you look at this game at the end and it's 2.5 hours or maybe it's 3 hours, whatever it is, know that it was extended by an hour due to these times. And oh, there's always going to be commercial time, right? These networks pay a lot of money to these schools. It's good for the schools. Obviously, the bigger schools get a lot more money than the smaller schools for these network games. It's part of their TV package. They pay their talent very well. And so the commercial time is important, but how can we structure it perhaps at some point to not have 46 minutes stoppage of a game for TV commercial time? Now, you could say radio commercial time as well, and you would be correct. We take 1 minute breaks, no matter how long of a break that we are given in a game, whether it's 2 minutes, 3 minutes that ESPN will have sometimes, 2.5. We take a 1 minute break each and every time. And so that's kind of how we operate and how we work through things. So that's one of the rule changes. The clock will continue to run on first downs. Another rule change that we have this year is the teams will not be allowed to call consecutive timeouts, which means especially if you get into the end of a half or maybe the end of the game, and these coaches have saved their timeouts to the very end or whatever, and you have a kicker out there ready to kick the game winner, you can call a timeout one time, but you cannot call a second or third timeout in a row to really ice the kicker and make him think about it. So there is that. Another rule change that you may or may not notice is penalties at the end of the first and third quarters are not going to extend the quarter. They are going to carry over to the second and fourth quarters and be enforced on the first play of the second and fourth quarter. So we'll no longer extend the first quarter or the third quarter with an untimed down if we can carry those over to the second or fourth quarter. So you'll keep an eye on that. Teams will have optional use of instant replay in games that do not have an instant replay booth official. So that is something to potentially watch for. And a couple others that maybe you won't really notice anyways. Second half warm-up activities. Guidelines were established, which includes that teams are required to wait until the field is made available to return and have designated areas of the field to warm up. So what does that mean? Well, there were instances last year many times, and it's gotten worse and worse. A lot of times what happens is coaches will take as much time as they possibly can in the locker room with their team, right? They're trying to figure out game plan. They're trying to adjust some things. So they send out the special teams, the specialists, early, and you'll see the punter and the kicker and long snapper all out there working on things as we await the rest of the team for the start of the second half. Well, what has happened here more and more recently is that these kickers are going onto the field and they are punting or kicking the football with the cheer team still out there, the dance team still out there, the band still on the field, and all of that. Now, you got to remember, college athletics, or college football, I should say, has quite a longer halftime than the NFL. I believe the NFL is 12 minutes at halftime. College football is 20. College football really does this. Colleges do this because a lot of what they do at quarter breaks or halftime, things like that, it's meant to make the band shine, the dance team shine, and do some of these other things that are important to the student-athlete experience and not just the football experience for the players and the coaches. And so you see a longer halftime at the collegiate level because of some of this stuff, and so they can cram all of this in. Now, when the band is out on the field and they have to worry about the ball bouncing through as they're walking off, it's dangerous for the band. And so because we have continued to push the envelope in that regard, that is another rule change that you'll see. So there's probably better guidelines of when the band or the halftime activities have to be completed, I should say, and when the teams are allowed to get back onto the field. So you won't see the punters and the kickers coming out and booting the ball over the band or over the dance team while they are continuing to get their work done. And then the other thing is when teams are on the field, drones are not allowed over the playing surface or the team area. So another rule change. But those are a lot of the rule changes in college football. Obviously, the biggest ones that you're going to notice is not allowing consecutive timeouts, not allowing the clock to stop after gaining a first down, and then the penalty carryovers to the second and fourth quarters and not extending quarters number one and three. So all of these in an effort to shorten the game and not allow the game to continue to be extended for whatever reason throughout the course of the contest. So those are a look at some of the rule changes in college football. It's something that you're going to notice. So I hope you kind of understand it a little bit now, and we'll continue to talk about that throughout the course of our broadcast as well. Well, David Herbster has stepped away from the University of South Dakota. He has been a staple to this podcast over the last several years, and we have had him on almost every show that we have done on this podcast. He was a fan of this podcast getting started, and then he committed to being a fan of it when he gave us the time that he gave us to interview each and every week. And one thing I've always appreciated about him taking the time to interview on this particular podcast is he's never been afraid to be transparent. Some of your questions he has chosen not to answer. Some of them we have reworded because they do get kind of tough to talk about. Some of them, they're just not the right time for him to talk about. But we have had the opportunity to really understand some of the changes in college sports as we know it, and he's been very transparent with us on that, and I think that's been very, very important, and so we really, really appreciate all the time he has given this show. I was able to catch up to him this week and kind of take a look back at the last 16 years of his time at USD. David, as we embark on a new athletics season for USD, obviously soccer and volleyball have been underway and football is about to start. People learned that you are stepping away as the athletic director at USD for a new opportunity. And I know those decisions, life changes never come easy, especially someone like you who's been so ingrained in things at USD for so long. How does something like this come about, and right, how real is it for you right now?
How did it come about? Well, that's two different questions there, but I appreciate only you able to answer or ask me like you did. We might as well wrap it up good, right? No, I'm just kidding. No, how did it come about? It was just wasn't something that we were looking for. It was kind of a side conversation that happened that just kind of, you know, manifested itself into an opportunity that, you know, sat and looked at it and really sat down with Kelly, my wife, and we just kind of did just discussing things in general. It was one that I don't know how to actually say, okay, this was the actual decision point, but ultimately it was an opportunity to step out a little bit, do part of my job, part that I really, really enjoy is the people part of it. The relationship building, the problem solving, the bringing people together, finding solutions, and with an organization that, frankly, I've worked with for the past 16 years in my role here at USD. So it felt like at the right time, and really excited for the new adventure. As sad as it is to leave, this place has been our home for 16 years, what would have been our 17th fall here at the university. So it's always difficult to say goodbye. But, you know, like I've told people, this isn't necessarily a goodbye. It's just a see you later. Being able to enjoy it. It'll be interesting to enjoy this from the outside a little bit. So that's kind of where it happened or where it started. And then, you know, from there, the last couple of days, you know, it's been 2 weeks now. We have a few more days. And that's probably been the most real part of it, I think, when my wife and I came in last weekend and we actually had to clean out my office a little bit and take some of the personal items and things like that, having to take something off the wall. And that's where it kind of becomes a little bit real, and you realize you get that flood of memories. And I'm going back through old things, you know, looking at the files to make sure I leave everything in the right order so they can find things, because the way my brain works is not normal for some people, but seeing things that, you know, you were a part of back in 2007 and 2008 and 2009, and you think about what the things that you had to do and the dirt you had to chew back then to where we are right now, it's just, wow, it seems like eons ago, but yet really it's, in some cases, it wasn't that long ago, but it has been overall kind of an interesting process, and it's been a little bit humbling, just the outpouring of support and the outreach that's occurred. And so I hope in some way have been able to have a positive impact on things.
I'm sure you've been asked the question a million times, but this announcement came right before the start of the fall seasons, and people are saying, how does the timing work out for something like this right before the season? And sometimes it's out of your control.
You know, it is, and I don't think there's ever a good time. President Gestring and I talked about it, and there's really never a good time, whether it was the middle of the season or the, you know, there's, you know, when opportunities happen, they just kind of, you know, when opportunity knocks, what do? You open the door, and that's kind of what happened. So, yeah, not ideal, but at the same time, the other part I feel really good about is the fact that so much is done and ready and laid out for this fall and for the year. Certain things you have to fine-tune, but from that perspective, I feel good that we're in a good position to start the school year.
You look back, and obviously you mentioned this was about to be your 17th fall at USD. You came here in a different role, eventually was named the athletic director. I don't know if that was necessarily your goal for USD when you first got here 16 years ago, but it worked into that. And you look back to just your when you first got to Vermilion and USD 16 years ago, and how different things are today. It's been crazy watching the changes here, but you look back at that time, what do you remember about coming into to Vermilion and USD and just thinking about what might be, maybe a short term, maybe a long term, and what it might mean for your family?
Right. I remember when I first came to campus, I think my wife and I came up for the spring football game. And I just remember us driving in, and that was the first time that she had been to Vermilion. I just remember driving in, you know, right about a quarter mile past the coffee cup, there was this purple trailer on the south side of the road that I just looked at as we were going by. And it was a place of business. Those people that have been around long enough will know what that business was. But I just remember coming in that and having my wife look at it and thinking to myself, oh, boy. And we start to come into town, and yet, you know, it's a 6 or 7 mile into town, and there's not much there as you go in. It's fields. And I just remember thinking, oh, boy, here we go. Because, you know, we went from Minneapolis to Omaha, and we just kept getting smaller and smaller. And then we get into town, and she's just kind of looking around and just like, I can just see her, like, you know, eyebrows up, kind of shaking her head a little bit, like, I don't know about this. And, you know, you get to the football game, it was fun, and just, you know, the being able to meet people and just leaving. And you know, we left later in that evening and just having the conversation. She goes, well, I don't know if I can do this. And I'm like, oh, that's not a great start. But we actually... All that being said, we made it home. And it was, you know, we figured we'll be here for a couple years, I would imagine. And then, you know, you kind of keep moving. And if this isn't the right place, but pretty soon our girls are in school. Our girls are in activities. They're in sports. They've got friends. You start to really be a part of a church. And pretty soon after that, she starts teaching. And it was just pretty soon. And for me here, it's always one thing led after another, because Joel Nielsen was the AD that hired me. And then he left. I was an interim for a while. And then David Sailor came on board, and then he left, and then I was the interim for a while, and it was, and then I became the athletic director. And through all of that, it was, you know, taking care of those transitions, but we always had major projects, and, you know, certainly the arena, sock and tracker complex, and then it was always one thing after another. And pretty soon, yeah, it would have been barking on our 17th fall at a point in time when, if you ask Kelly, she would have said, yeah, we'll be here maybe 2 years at the most. And yet we leave, you know, you end up stepping down from here, and it feels like you're going away from home for the first time. So that's where I realized that this was a good spot and a right place, right time to really raise a family.
You worked with the athletics, obviously, your entire time, but you were working right next to the athletic director. You were interim AD twice, as you just talked about. What did it mean to you at the time to be named the athletic director and essentially get that vote of confidence?
Sure. I certainly appreciated President Abbott believing in me at that point in time. And we still had to finish up the transition, and there were still some things left to do. But it felt very comfortable stepping into that role, leading a group of people, coaches and student athletes that you already cared a great deal about and had worked so hard up until that point to get us, you know, through that as far as we were through that transition, to do some of the things that we do or that we had done up until that point. But it was, it was an honor to be named and to work in that capacity of athletic director that I've been in since.
You've watched the volleyball team go from the dome floor to up in the old Coyote Den to the Sanford Coyote Sports Center, and obviously the basketball teams get their practice facilities after practicing in the West Gym. And you look back at some of that, and it's probably amazing, because you look back and you think, how did we survive with the facilities that we had? But at the time, going through it all, you're like, let's make the most of what we have.
Well, I look at all of our sports and the things and, you know, what they had at the time. If I look back to 2007, 8, 9, 10, the Wellness Center hadn't been built yet. And so the Dome was the Wellness Center, and the balance that you had to have through all of that as far as when to practice, where you practice. We did not have an outdoor track. Track would have to go over to the high school to get some of their things in. So there was so much that we didn't have now. And yet we still found a way to win championships through all of that. And as you kind of go forward to see where we're at now, to have athletic facilities that represent this campus, that represent a Division I institution, that represent the University of South Dakota. You know, you look all around this campus, and it's like the campus itself has grown up dramatically too during that time frame. Because when I first got here, the Munster University Center, the MUC, the Student Union, wasn't even there. They had torn the old one down and hadn't started building yet. And didn't really start until, I want to say, I'd have to go back in and look, but maybe late into 2008 or first part of 2009, they actually started building that thing. So we had the temporary student center, which is the old continuing ed building, which is right off of Cherry Street. But yeah, some of those things, you look back on where we are now and what we had to deal with and what we had to work with and how we had to all get along to what we've been, what campus has grown into. That's one of the things that I think is, it's not too often in your career that you get a chance to do something like that. And it just, here, right place, right time, the opportunity was there, and you had a campus and a university and a state that was supportive to allow us to do the things that we did.
You know, we talk about the facilities that changed, but obviously one of the big things that changed was going Division I, and you were a part of that, watching that transition Division II to Division I. College athletics are constantly changing in today's world with the name, image, and likeness, and the pay-to-play questions and all of that stuff that's going on in the background. What has been the biggest challenge, do you think, in your time as you've tried to guide USD through?
I think early on, as we were fundraising for Division I, is convincing our alumni that we were doing the right thing. I mean, I think a lot of our alumni were still split on even going Division II. I mean, going Division I from Division II. And so having to convince them of that, I think the most rewarding part of where we are right now is there's a lot of conversation and a lot of worry that in going Division I, we were not going to be successful. We were going to bring in bad kids and we wouldn't graduate anybody. And I think just the opposite has occurred. We have an athletic department GPA over 3.3. We've won championships and we have really, really good kids, really, really good students here. So now the challenges are, and the challenges are always going to be financial, because first we just had to generate enough money, because we were at about 105 scholarships, 100 to scholarships, 105 scholarships, now at about 197, 98. So you have to raise the money for 97 more scholarships, let alone the cost of how much the cost of tuition has risen over that time period. And now you fast forward to where we are right now, and it's just trying to identify, explain to people what cost of attendance is. Now there's the opportunity to provide academic money, Alston money. Now you got, everybody wants to know, do we need a collective, or how do we pay our players? And it's, I think the sad or the different part about it, depending on what side you're on, is whether it's sad, is all we really want is for these students to go to school and play a game. And I feel like in a lot of cases, not necessarily on this campus, but maybe nationally, adults are messing that up for them, because I think we've made it way more complicated than what it should be. And now you have the talk about conference realignment, and it always seems to be one disaster after another that seems to occur. And it's a far cry from where we were back in 2007, trying to figure out what conference we were going to be a part of.
Part of your role as athletic director, you have to sometimes make difficult decisions on coaches. You have to convince people the right people are in place. You lose coaches, right, to different mm-hmm. opportunities, and all of that adds a different level of stress, because then you're trying to hire new coaches and things like that. But you look at just the coaches that have come through USD, and so many have gone on to different opportunities, mm-hmm. and for some it's better opportunities, so they wouldn't leave. How difficult is that part of your role as the athletic director? You get those relationships, and then they're off for somewhere else, but I think in the back of your mind, you're always trying to keep those relationships.
You really are. I think the tough part is watching them leave, and sometimes it's maybe harder than others determining where or why they leave, right? You certainly can't hold anybody back, not only on our coaches or any of our other staff that have left for let's say, better opportunities from their perspective. And so you hate to lose them, but at the same time, it's difficult, especially as coaches, to be in one spot for an awfully long time. And because if you're that successful, people are going to pluck you. If you're not successful at all, well, then there's a different conversation that has to happen too. But I look at a lot of them. I'm proud of those that have gone on, proud of those that have taken that leap. We've had some people take the leap, staff that have ended up coming back, So I do think it's critical that you have those opportunities to have those relationships. I had, I think it was last week, at a staff kind of gathering we had at Old Lumber Company. There's a couple of them that Brett Barnett, our tennis coach, and Brett Bennett, our golf coach, we were just kind of joking around. They said, "Hey, thank you for everything, and especially for hiring us." That was kind of a big deal. but those are the ones that you're so proud of because of what they do, why they do it, and they do it in a sport that gets absolutely no notoriety. There's not the glamour in women's college tennis like there is in college football, but yet they do it because they love what they do.
Also, in your time, you've taken a chance on some people, whether it's been for a head coaching role or maybe a position in the athletic department, and you've been able to watch them grow. How important is that? And how much did you have to learn to trust giving people that mm-hmm. opportunity and taking that chance?
This business is about, I don't want to say taking chances, but providing opportunities, both what we do for student athletes and what we do for staff. And I do think that the important conversations are the ones that we have up front in regards to the expectations, the accountability, and what you're in charge of. I think it's important that we make sure that they understand they're integral to everything that we do, even though it might not seem like it. But it's no different than, one position on a football team. If that one person doesn't do their job on any given play, that really, the whole play can be just blown up. So, but seeing them and then seeing them grow, seeing them flourish, putting them in situations where they have to make decisions and have to make choices. And I would rather have them make a mistake going 110 miles an hour than make a mistake because they're standing still and they're afraid to move. And so you have to be able to take those moments. There's going to be mistakes that are made, but then you learn from them. And chances are they don't make the same mistake twice. But that's the part that's kind of really, really fun to watch them grow into their job, grow into their responsibility, grow into that level, that position of being comfortable with making decisions and feeling a valuable part of the team.
We could sit here and talk about all the changes that you've overseen, and there have been a great deal of them, and so many of them have put USD in such a good position moving forward and even into Division I for, as you always talk about, we always want to compete for championships and some of that. How would you try to describe the USD today versus 16 years ago when you arrived in Vermilion?
Oh, wow. We've grown up a lot. We have understood that it's okay to tell your story. It's okay. I'm not saying it's okay to necessarily brag, but to really highlight and focus in on the team accomplishments, the wins, the individual accomplishments. It's okay to cheer. It's okay to be proud of yourself. It's okay to walk by someone in the state of Florida that you see wearing a red USD shirt and just walk by and say, "Go Yotes." And I certainly had that in the airport too, and some people you don't even know, and it's "Go Yotes," and they get it. So there's that identification back and that sense of being proud about being a Coyote. I'm not saying it wasn't there before, but it's just a different level right now. The connection that you see when we go to various places to play and the alumni that might come out to that particular event. And it doesn't necessarily have to be sports. It could be the chamber singers when they're on their tour. It could be alumni events in Washington, D.C. I just think there's that connection back and that maybe a heightened level of pride in the university, and it wasn't there like it is now back in 2007.
you look at USD Athletics right now, and we're obviously about to start a football season. Volleyball has been very successful. In the last handful of years, we've seen women's basketball go to the Sweet 16 and win the WNIT championship. We've seen all sorts of sports send athletes to the national level and compete at the highest level. We've got pole vaulters competing in international events and things like that. And you look at all of that, and all of that leads to the next thing. And as you sit here today and just think about the year to come for USD and where it is at now, how would you describe maybe the state of USD athletics right now?
I think we've got a great stable of coaches. I think we have outstanding student athletes academically. I think on the field of competition, I think you're going to see some things this year that I don't think they necessarily surprise anybody, but I think they're things that are going to be certainly welcome, and that's winning. I think, you know, when I look at where do we need to go, the conference alignment and that national conference or that national conference conversation is going to continue to percolate. But I think when I look at what we have and who we have to work with and what our student athletes are, the facilities that we have, one of the things that's going to continue to be a need is for us to get people to continue to come to the games. And, you know, so that means buying tickets. That means supporting the Howling Pack. That means, you know, those that are corporate sponsors. Because I think the constant need right now to generate revenue is more important and more critical than it ever has been. And I can tell you that even what we do and how we work with it, you know, people think about, you know, as we push forward and trying to raise revenue, you know, don't think about the Ohio States of the world, whose football budget is probably as big as our entire athletic department budget. We do a pretty good job with what we have, but the rising costs are going to continue to be there. Travel costs, food costs, transportation, recruiting, all of those things aren't going away. And tuition, you know, tuition scholarships, they're not going away. And so that more than anything is critical, because I think it's more important. I think it's critically important for us to be more self-sufficient and rely less on the university for funds. But that's really engaging and mobilizing everybody in Coyote Nation to attend a game, to support, to give, to make sure that in one level or another they know they're a part of the team. You know, and whether you give a $100 or $100,000, it all makes a difference. And so that allows us to do a lot of the things that we do for our student athletes, who really are the reason why we're here, is for them.
Yep. Well, besides the weekly Yotecast podcast conversation, what will you miss the most about being at USD, about being in this position, about you know, being so close to athletics?
Sure. Well, don't sell yourself short. I'm going to miss this a lot. I've always told you we need to have these, you know, the 10 minutes that we talk prior to actually turning the button on is probably would be gold.
Yeah.
But that should probably be behind a paywall,
right,
if we're going to do that with a disclaimer. You know, what do I think? I don't know what I'm going to miss the most yet. I'll be honest with you. Maybe you and I can have a conversation in 3 months, but I still think game day. I think as much as anything between game day, but then being able to peek in and watch practice. Those are some of the things that are the most fun. The interactions and the people. But really, hopefully, wherever you go, and with me going to Sanford, it'll be those interactions that'll kind of take place of the interactions that I have here. But I'm sorry, there's just something special about game day. I don't care whether it's kickoff, the first whistle, tip off, the starter's pistol, boom, and it's that adrenaline of competition that's kind of fun.
Well, as you transition into a new role with Sanford and involved with community relations, some of that stuff, like, what are you excited about with this new opportunity that'll be good for you and your family?
It's in, you know, I always tell people, especially when they've started here, and I check in on them after the first week and make sure they're still coming back. They like it here. Yeah, we haven't run them off yet. But that first couple months is a lot like drinking water out of a fire hydrant. They're getting a lot of information all at once. You're trying to soak it in, and you're just trying to keep your head above water. So the things that I, you know, at Sanford in the role with community relations, it is, you know, assisting with their relationships with their university partners like USD. assisting with a lot of their community engagement practices, both in sports and in some of the other things that they do, assisting in with, you know, the areas where they have clinics and hospitals outside of both in Sioux Falls and then outside of the Sioux Falls area in South Dakota, looking at workforce development opportunities with our partners. And so there's a lot that's there. And, you know, part of it is, I know it, with every job, there's going to be other duties as assigned that never made it to the job description, but they're in that last little bullet point that I tell people, even when we've hired them here, this falls under other duties as assigned. But that's what I'm looking forward to. And as much as anything, I think it's coming, you know, going in there, working with a great group, starting with, you know, both at the Sioux Falls Hospital and corporately, that there's just a lot of solid individuals there, no different than what we have here at USD.
Your name will always be in the history books as one of the athletic directors at the University of South Dakota. And you've spent, obviously, we talked about a ton of time here. You've overseen so much change. When down the road, people look back and people of this era think back to USD athletics of today and they think of the David Herbster era as athletic director, what do you hope that people will remember or will think of? And just about this time as your time of leading USD Athletics.
Not the first time I've had that conversation in the last few weeks. I still don't think I have a very good answer to it. I guess I'll say, you know, the one thing I've always told our staff and our student athletes is the idea we're going to win and we're going to win the right way. I hope we've done it right. I hope we've made an impact on the lives of our student athletes. You know, ideally wanting them to be better sons and daughters, better brothers and sisters, ultimately better husbands and wives, and make it so that the general public doesn't necessarily see this, but we want you to be better as an individual because of your 4 or 5 years here, that you've learned the lessons, you've learned hard work, you've learned how to overcome, you've learned how to experience things, so that in 20 years, I want you to think back that this was the best 4 or 5 years of your life. Some of our athletes could be 6 or 7 years of their life too. But I just hope we oversaw a unbelievable transition, an unbelievable kind of level of growth, historically going from Division II to Division I, and then doing it in such a way that we still not only maintained success, but we improved upon that success. That I hope this is one of those transformational years that the next person that comes in, frankly, I'm going to be their biggest fan on taking USD to that next level, doing better, going further, expanding on what we've done here, that I hope that the foundation is laid for them to have that type of success.
Well, I know you've heard this from a lot of people, but I think, you know, you speak for a lot of people and you just say thank you. Thank you for your time, you know, to not only you, but your family has given so much time and your time, so much of your time to USD and all of that. But you've given me a great deal of time for a lot of conversations we've had over the years. And so I know that a lot of people just want to say thank you for all the time that you've given, because it's been a lot.
Well, and I would say thank you right back. I think not only for us, to be a part of this family, to oversee the growth that we have, but really to, you know, think about it, to take our family in. The one thing I realize is that, you know, you're coming in from the outside into the University of South Dakota, and you're not a South Dakotan, but really quickly you just learn that people are people. And that part's been fun. This has been fun. You and I have been fun. Like I told you, we've, you know, you've come a long way from just doing spot reporting on the sideline to, you know, watching your growth, and it's people like you that you're really, really proud of, because I've been here to watch that. In some cases, it's, you know, not that I'm amazed that you've developed into the professional that you are, but it's fun. That part's fun to watch. It's rewarding that I can be a part of somebody else's journey as well. I hope have had a positive impact in some way at some point in time, and we've had our fair share of fun, and those are, you know, at least now, if we go out and have fun and get in trouble, I won't get in trouble for it. You might.
That's all part of it.
Right.
But no, I really appreciate that kind kind words, but it's been great, and I know you've given me a lot of time and us a lot of time for this, and I know our fans have appreciated it, because you've been very transparent with a lot of things and even difficult conversations that we've had on this. You've been very open and honest with our fans about a lot of things, and so thank you for all of that again, and going to miss doing this with you, but I wish you and your family, you know, all the best going forward at the new opportunity that you have, and we'll look forward to it, and we'll have a conversation down the road, but I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Well, thanks. It's been a lot of fun. It really has. This is the part of my job that's really not work. It's that opportunity for us to have that dialogue and talk about Coyote Athletics. So thank you for everything, and I think for one last time, I'll just sign off on appreciate you, man.
And I appreciate you. That is David Herbster, the now former athletic director at the University of South Dakota. Certainly wish him and Kelly and his family well as they, you know, experience life very different than they have for the last many, many years in college athletics. But a new opportunity for him, but I'm excited for, you know, him to get that opportunity. He's got girls still involved in sports, maybe an opportunity to watch them a little bit more, and we'll certainly stay in touch with David Herbster and hopefully continue to see him at USD games and events here over the however long he is still in the area. So good luck to him on the new opportunity, but I really appreciate him taking the time to kind of look back and reminisce a little bit about his time at USD. So many changes have happened under his direction, and it's one of those things that you just keep looking at all the changes. You look at the dome renovation, obviously the Sanford Coyote Sports Center and the track complex and the soccer field that has all been put into place, and all this stuff happened while he was in the athletic director seat or was moving into that seat. And so obviously a big change, as we talked about, was moving to Division One, and he was a part of that, not as the AD, but he was a part of that, right? And then he moved into the AD chair when it was still a challenge, when you still have to get through all of that and all of those changes. So really proud of what he has accomplished here, and he's been great to get to know. You know, I moved here about 10 years ago, and about 10 years ago I got involved with USD in covering women's basketball, and I had done some interviews with him, and when the opportunity came about, I asked him, I said, would you support the idea of me broadcasting the women's basketball games? And, you know, he hadn't known me very long at all, but for whatever reason, he said he thought that would be a neat idea. And so I put my name into it, and it happened, right? And now I've been around here for a while, and our relationship has grown, and we've had the opportunity to do a number of interviews. And again, I just always appreciated his transparency and his honesty throughout our conversations, because he knows how important it is for you to understand what is going on in college athletics. So final interview with David Herbster here on the Yodcast podcast, and perhaps there will be another one somewhere down the road. But that is where we're at right now. And Corey Jenkins has taken over as the interim athletic director, and Mike Alden will be walking around. He's a former Missouri Tiger AD. Convenient, interesting that he is the consultant kind of person, the kind of close partner with the president during this transition. Because obviously football and volleyball both play at Missouri this week. So he'll be around, but Corey Jenkins will be handling a lot of the day-to-day stuff as far as, you know, internally and overseeing how athletics is going to run. And Corey's been around USD now for a few years, and he gets it, he understands it, and we're excited to see where his leadership takes things during this interim period. So my thanks to David Herbster for joining the podcast one more time and sharing his thoughts on all the changes in college athletics at USD and all of that over the last several years. All right, let's wrap it up this week with a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. Obviously, the football opener is set for Thursday night in Columbia, Missouri. You can watch that on the SEC Network Plus. You can also hear it on the Coyote Sports Network. Join myself and Jerry Pelleschi, who is our new sideline reporter this year. And we do have a special guest analyst for this game. Chris Streveler is coming to Columbia. He's going to join us in the broadcast booth as well. So really excited to get his breakdown of the game, and hope you can tune in for the conversations with Chris Streveler coming up in the game on Thursday night. Our broadcast gets underway at 6 o'clock. Kickoff is set for 7 o'clock down at Furrow Field in Memorial Stadium in Columbia. The Kyle volleyball team will be in Columbia, Missouri as well. They're going to be there to cheer on the football team on Thursday night, but then they are set to play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The Coyotes take on third-ranked Louisville on Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Then they meet Missouri at 2:30 on Saturday and 11 a.m. on Sunday. The Coyotes take on Northern Kentucky. South Dakota off to a 1-1 start to the season. Women's soccer hits the road for the first time this season. The women's soccer team will play on Friday night at Idaho State. 8 o'clock Central Time start time for that one. The women's soccer team also is in action on Sunday when they travel to Logan, Utah. They'll take on the Utah State Aggies. Cross country gets its season underway on Friday night in Sioux Falls. It's the Augustana Twilight. Twilight means that starts late. 8:30 start time for the cross country opener. And next week, women's golf is in action in Fargo, the North Dakota State Invitational, NDSU Invitational. That is Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, and that gets us all the way around to next Thursday, where we will have a big opening weekend at USD. Women's soccer will be in action next week in Vermilion. Volleyball is at home on Thursday and Friday, and of course, football is set for its opener on September 9th. So, a lot of fun stuff coming up. Hope you can get your tickets. You can do that at goyotes.com. All right. Hope you continue to join us throughout the course of the year with the Yotecast podcast. I'm John Thayer. Have a great rest of your week. We'll do it again next week. Till next time, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.